The works of God are to be declared and made known. It might seem like that was randomly chosen out of today's first reading, but in fact, it's a principle that we can reflect on and see how it applies at many different levels of our life. I'd like to reflect on this principle, the works of God are to be declared and made known. First of all, we'll reflect a little bit on how this gets declared in the first reading, but then apply it to three situations. Our own personal lives, the work of God in our own lives, the work of God that we see happening in the lives of others, second level, and then third level, the work of God at the biggest level, God at work in the world. And as it turns out, these three levels we can attach to the first reading, story of Raphael himself and Tobit and Tobiah. Second point about seeing it in others, we can apply to the gospel, where we can reflect on this poor widow who puts in everything she owns into the treasury. And then the third level, the biggest level of all, we can connect to tomorrow's feast day, Corpus Christi. So you can see how this is falling into place. But before we get to these three levels, let's just see what's happening here. This is near the conclusion of the book of Tobit, which we have been reading all week. It's a great book. I hope you have had a chance to read it. This is, again, just an excerpt. But this is the point at which Raphael, the archangel Raphael, who has been journeying with Tobiah for these weeks, finally makes known who he really is. He's been incognito as a man, as a relative of Tobit's family. But his real identity is one of the seven angels who serves before the glory of the Lord, Raphael. Before Raphael reveals himself, he gives this little exhortation. It's kind of a good advice, and it's precious because it reveals to us what angels think is important. What do angels think is important? Well, first of all, thank God. Give him the praise and glory. That's what angels do all the time, and that's what they think we should do. If you want to ask any angel, archangels or any other angels, what should we be doing? They would say, oh, praise God. Praise God. Give him all the glory and all the praise. Everything you have is from him, and everything you have is for him. Put it all before him for his glory. And this is basically what Raphael tells Tobit and Tobiah here. Thank him, give him praise and glory before all the living. Acknowledge the many good things he has done for you by blessing and extolling his name in song. Honor and proclaim God's deeds, and do not be slack in praising him. Angels, they are never slack in praising the Lord. They're constantly and fully dedicated to praising God. Then he gives to Tobit and Tobiah and to us this bit of advice. A king's secret it is prudent to keep, but the works of God are to be declared and made known. That's the verse we have chosen for our theme today. And then he goes on to talk more about the value of almsgiving, especially almsgiving, which is what we see in the gospel. Okay, so the principle comes from the angel. The works of God are to be declared and made known. That's how angels live, and that's how Raphael tells us to live. Now, these three levels that I mentioned. First of all, the personal level. Raphael is speaking, in one sense, about himself. He's revealing the works of God that have been taking place in his own personal experience. And Raphael says this once he finally reveals who he is. I'm Raphael, the archangel. He says, I was the one who presented your prayers and Sarah's prayers before the throne of God. I was the one who observed your good deeds in burying the dead. I was the one I was sent to bring about the healing of Sarah, or the protection of Sarah, and the healing of the blindness of Tobit. So what he's saying is, I've had this personal experience of God at work in my life, and this is what I am declaring to you. Not because I'm boasting, but because this is the work of God, and the works of God must be declared and made known. It's part of giving glory to God to simply declare our own personal experience of the goodness of God. It's testimony. It's personal witness. This is the first level on which we can speak about the good things of God, our own personal experience, not theory. If you want to think of another example of this, there are countless examples, but another very famous one is the Blessed Virgin Mary at the Visitation. We celebrated that a couple of weeks ago. What does Mary say when Elizabeth honors her for being the mother of the Lord? What does she say? My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. She's making known, she's declaring and making known the works of God. What God has done for me, the Lord has done great things for me, holy is his name. You see how Mary is following this angelic principle of declaring, making known the works of God. Because she has personal experience of it. So there's countless examples in the scriptures. St. Peter tells us we should always be ready to give an explanation for the hope that is in us. We should always be ready to declare and make known the works of God. It doesn't mean that we have to constantly be hitting people over the head with our testimony. And sometimes it's not even appropriate. As Raphael says, the king's secret is prudent to keep. But there's sometimes when we don't say anything. But eventually, and at the right time, the works of God have to be made, have to be proclaimed, and we have personal experience of it, so we have a personal testimony to offer to anyone who's willing to listen. Okay, first level, Raphael himself. And so, we don't read it in the liturgy, but in the next chapter of Tobit, Tobit launches into a long hymn of praise, praise of God. We took excerpts from it as our responsorial psalm in today's Mass. But Tobit does what Raphael says should be done. He gives praise to God and thanks to God, and he declares the works of God in his own personal experience. I was scourged, I was blinded, God humbled me, and he has lifted me up and given me these blessings. He's blessed my son, my daughter-in-law, my family, and he's giving praise to God. Okay, first level. Now let's turn to the gospel and see that there's another level, or you could say a little bit wider circle in which we can identify the works of God and so give him praise and glory. We can declare and make known what he's doing. Jesus himself does this. He observes the people putting their offerings into the treasury, their donations, their almsgiving. And he points out the poor widow, who, he says, put in more than all the other contributors of the treasury. She put in more than all the others. What he's doing here is he's declaring and making known the works of God, because no one thought that poor woman put in more than all the others. She obviously put in less than all the others. She only put in a few centavos, or a couple of pesos. It's a very small donation. And she was not doing what she was doing in order for anybody to notice it. She wasn't declaring and making known the works of God in her own life. Here I am putting money into the treasury. Here I am, look at, I'm putting my whole livelihood into this treasury, this collection box. She wasn't doing it. But Jesus points out the work of God taking place in the beautiful heart of this poor widow. And this is something to also praise God for, when God allows us to see his work in other people. And sometimes we can see what he's doing in other people more than we can see what he's doing in our own lives. Our eyes are open to see the goodness of people and also how God is at work in other people. It's one of the privileges of journeying with people on the road of faith, is to see how God works in people's lives. It's really exciting. Like one of the privileges of being a priest is to be able to journey with people, and they let me know what's going on in their inner life. They say, wow, look at the works of God. And sometimes I can't say anything to anybody about it, because a king's secret has to be kept, especially if I learn it in the confessional or something like that. But in the bigger picture, what a great thing it is to be able to see God at work in another person's life. Now let's reflect on this widow for a moment. There's a picture of her on the song sheet. Did you notice that? This picture took me by surprise because I always thought of the widow as an old lady, you know, at the end of her life. Here she is, a young woman with four children. So I never thought of that. I'm not sure that I would ever think of it. But anyway, that's this artist's version of it. You can see Jesus in the background with a few of his disciples, and he's observing this poor widow putting money in the treasure, and he's saying to the disciples, see that one? She's the best. She's done the most. Now, what's so great about this widow? Not the amount of money she put in, but the totality of her person, of her being. Jesus puts it this way. The rich people, they contributed from their surplus wealth, but they didn't need anyway. They weren't dependent on it. But she, from her poverty, has contributed all she had, her whole livelihood. He's pointing to her as an example of poverty of spirit, which is dependence on God, absolute dependence on God. Now that might strike us as being a very bad way to live, because then she doesn't have any way to live now. She's more helpless than she was before. That's not the point. She's revealing to us, because Jesus points her out, our dependence on God. We are all absolutely dependent on God. We don't have anything that we didn't get from God. We don't have anything that doesn't belong to God. So what she's doing is living the way we are all supposed to live, with absolute dependence on God, acknowledging Him in every way. This is the way the angels live, right? Everything they have is for God. Everything they know, everything they do, everything they think, everything they say, all for the glory of God. That's the right way to live, because everything we have, everything that we think, everything that comes to us is all from God. So she's an example of the Anuim. She's a living example of the Anuim spirituality. It doesn't mean that everybody has to give away everything that they have. In fact, we shouldn't do that. Most people should not do that. What it does mean is that we should be acknowledging and living with the awareness that everything we have is for God and for His purposes. There's nothing that we can say absolutely, this is mine. That's the mentality that we very often have. This is mine, and so I can decide what I'm going to do with it. At a relative level, I suppose we can say that about things, but not in the absolute sense. This is mine and I can decide. No, this is God's. The right attitude is this is God's. He has entrusted it to me. I'm the steward of this thing, this property, this object, this money or whatever, this family. I'm the steward, and so I'm in charge of making sure that these things are used for the glory of God. So, how does this story of the widow or Jesus' declaration about the widow fit today's theme? The works of God are to be declared and made known. What Jesus is saying is, here's the work of God on display in the life of this widow, and she becomes an instruction for all of us, not only for the apostles at that time, but for the whole church for the rest of time. Here's an example of poverty of spirit. Okay, that's the second level. What we see in the lives of other people, the works of God on display in the lives of good people, especially holy people. It's a privilege to be able to see these examples. Now the third level, as I said, is the biggest, the broadest. And this is, it's connected to our own personal experience, it's connected to what we might see in the lives of others, but it's more the work of God in creation and in the church and in history. And for this, I'd like to point to tomorrow's great feast day, Corpus Christi. Tomorrow we celebrate the gift of the Holy Eucharist. The Eucharist is much more than my personal experience. It's much more than what we see influencing anybody else. This is God present in the world. This is Jesus Christ, body and blood, made available to us at every Mass and reserved in every tabernacle. This is the greatest of the works of God. So if we're going to say the works of God are to be declared and made known, well, then we should put the prominence on Jesus Christ in the Eucharist. It's the greatest work He does. In fact, it's everything he does. It's the gift of his whole self, his whole saving work, his life, death, and resurrection. Everything that he has done and everything that he's doing, everything he will do, is all contained in this humble package of the Eucharist. What looks like ordinary bread, but is in fact Jesus Christ. So, I think the highest expression of today's theme, the works of God are to be declared and made known, is in tomorrow's feast day. It's a feast day especially meant to praise God for the gift of the Eucharist, to honor him, to adore him, to make him known, to make Jesus and the Eucharist known to the church and to the world. Okay, bye. Okay, let us, in our own personal lives, in the lives of our brothers and sisters and those whom we know and see, and in the whole church, let us make known, let us declare and make known with praise and thanksgiving the great works of God.